God, we pray this morning that we would encounter you, your truth and your presence, that we would be transformed as a result. And we pray this in your name. Amen. You can have a seat. If you are new here this morning, we want to give you a special welcome. If you are new to church, new to Jesus, or new to North Langley, my name is John, and I'm one of the pastors here. And if you, if this is your church home, I just want to say welcome home. Do you ever eat a meal where you have like the salad and then the chicken? The salad's over here and the chicken's over there. But then sometimes you have a meal where here's the salad and the chicken's mixed in? Yeah. Yes, there's some excitement. That's what we're gonna do this morning, is sometimes we have the worship over here and the preaching over there, but this morning we're actually going to mix the worship and the preaching all throughout the service. So a little bit of one, a little bit of the other, a little bit of one, a little bit of the other. So we are in a series in Colossians, unpacking what this life in Christ that we have been given, unpacking what that means and what that looks like. And the text this morning is from Colossians 3, verse 15 to 17, page 553 in your pew Bible, if you would like. And it says this: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. So worship is woven through the passage. So we're going to take worship and preaching and weave it throughout the service this morning. And Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly." There's a soup in Thailand that is kind of a hunter's stew. And hunter's stew is where you take the soup and each day you just add more ingredients to the soup. It never really runs out. You just keep adding and then you serve and you add and you serve and you add and you serve. And you just keep going. And this soup, it keeps simmering, and each day they take the stock and they make a new batch and they add more materials. But this soup hasn't just been going for weeks or months. This soup here has been going for 45 years. For 45 years, each day they add ingredients and then they serve. They add and serve, they add and serve. And I watched a video of someone eating the soup, and the word that they used to describe it, they said, it is incredibly rich. And this is the picture that we have in Colossians here this morning. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if you imagine a soup simmering in your soul, and the word of Christ gets added in, and it simmers, and then we serve it out, and each day it's added in, and we serve it out, and added in, and it's served out, and day by day, month by month, year by year, the word of Christ simmers in the soup of our soul. It dwells among us richly. We let it happen. Let the word of Christ dwell. Basically, what it's saying is let Jesus cook. Let him do his business. Give him the freedom. All the young people are really appreciating this. To let someone cook is an old phrase, if any of the young people aren't understanding, that started about 15 years ago. It just means give someone freedom to do something that you're confident that they can succeed in. Just give them some space. So when we let Jesus cook, when we let the word of Christ dwell among us richly. So on a Sunday, Joel, or someone like Joel, will sing, as well as a team, and myself or someone like me will come up and hear and speak, but that's not what we're talking about. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit." See, it's not just from here to there. It's one another. It's you as a community speaking to each other where this happens. It says to teach, or we apply and remind truth to life. To admonish, it means to put in someone's mind. It's a warning. So we want to do that carefully, but that's part of it. And I'm going to add to encourage. But this isn't advice. It's not good ideas. It's not a Hallmark card. Those can all be great. But we teach and admonish with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. What this means is that the songs we sing are the words we say. The songs we sing are the words we say to each other. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to teach, admonish, and encourage one another in all wisdom. So this doesn't mean that we're passive-aggressive. It doesn't mean that we're using this to level harsh criticism. We're not using scripture as a weapon or to manipulate. We're not just talking about music we like either. We're talking about psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Some music falls into this category. Some doesn't. I'm not going to say which is which, but I think we look at what it produces in us and what it leads us to. So we do this in relationship with emotional and spiritual maturity, with gentleness and accountability. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we teach and admonish and encourage one another with all wisdom, with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Now, when you hear this, you might think that sounds difficult, but it doesn't have to be complicated. When I pray with people, I will often pray a line from the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I will pray, may you have strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Simple as that. There's a hymn. Someone prayed for me last week, and as they were praying, they said, John, as we were praying, Psalm 1 came to mind. Simple as that. That's a psalm. Or maybe you've had a moment in a tough season where someone sends you a song, or maybe you've done the same for someone else, and you just, when I heard the song, I thought of you. Or when I thought of you, I heard the song. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to listen to the lyrics of the song we sang and the songs we will. What sticks out? You can look in the Psalms in your pew Bible, page 249. This is what I do when I go to visit someone in the hospital. I choose a psalm to share. Listen to the Spirit. Who comes to mind? And we're going to continue to sing a couple more songs, then we'll have the announcements, and then a coffee break. But instead of a discussion question this morning, we're simply going to share something good and true with each other. So I serve you something from the simmering soup in my soul. You serve me something. And as we do that, the word of Christ dwells among us richly. So you could do that here. You could send someone a text. You could pop out, give them a quick phone call. But with a song, a psalm, a hymn, or a song from the Spirit. Now, this isn't the only time. It's not just a box to tick, but it's 5 minutes where we can start to apply it. So does that make sense? So this morning, we're going to teach and admonish and encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit with all wisdom. And as we do that, we will see the word of Christ dwell among us richly. So let's think of those that God may put on our hearts. Let's pay attention to the lyrics. And in a few minutes, we're going to put it into practice. So would you please stand as we continue in worship? But as we continue the mixed up chicken salad sermon this morning, we've talked about the word of Christ dwelling among us richly. And now we're going to hear from Dan. Dan and his, wasn't his wife, but is his wife now, Aaliyah, were on staff when I joined at Bethel. Dan was an intern at North Langley last year, and I'm very excited that Dan is going to be sharing the next part of the Word of God with us. And so, Dan, I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to hear from you. So, God, we thank you that you've spoken to Dan, that you have worked in him. Now that we ask that you would speak through him and work through him. So, Holy Spirit, would you open our ears to hear what you're saying? And that you would give us the faith to respond. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks, John. Good morning. Just to echo what John said, that was really cool, getting to walk through and hearing 2, 3, 4 different conversations of people kind of ruminating on what was standing out to them in the foyer where I was sitting. Really, really encouraging, really cool to hear that. I'm just going to read our passage again this morning, just the little snippet of it that we'll be talking about right now. And so in Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. I love this verse. I find it a really comforting passage. This was actually shared in part of Aaliyah and I's wedding verse. And so this verse has a lot of meaning for me. I find it really comforting. I also find it difficult. And I think that's because peace is difficult. It's a nice concept, but I think it's pretty evasive for a lot of us. Maybe there's a few of you in the room where this idea of peace comes a lot more naturally. that you're naturally a lot more peaceful, non-anxious, and that kind of seeps out of you to the people around you. But for me, and I assume for most of us, peace is hard. And so it's interesting to me that the passage starts the way that it does, with the word let. It almost sounds a little bit passive. Not pursue the peace of Christ, or instill the peace of Christ, or grow the peace of Christ in you, but let it rule in your hearts. We talk a lot about practicing our faith here, this kind of active participation in life with God, through things like prayer and Bible reading and worship and community, and these are really vital and necessary in our walk. But underlying all of these ideas is this idea that there is only so much that we can do in this relationship with God. That ultimately, God is God. And while we have a role to play in being active and interacting with that, we come to this point where it is pointless without Him stepping in and interacting with us. That we come to this point where we say, Lord, have your way, because this is out of my control at a certain point. And I actually really appreciated the song we just sang of It Is Well. I feel like it kind of gets at this sense of, okay, Lord, I surrender to you, have your way, it is well with my soul now that you are here with me. My wife, Aliyah, and I, she comes along for the ride, but we do a lot of driving together. And whether it's for a road trip or just the day-to-day driving, it's kind of worked out where I end up being the one driving and she is in the passenger seat. I just like driving a bit more than she does. I'm comfortable with it. She's like mostly comfortable with my driving. But there's a term that we say often. I didn't come up with this term. Aliyah didn't either, so no judgment on us. But it is a term that Aliyah proudly leans into, and that's of a passenger princess. Are we familiar? It's this idea that whoever's in the passenger seat just gets pampered, treated like royalty. You have no responsibility or anything to do. You are just along for the ride. So when we drive, Aliyah will make sure the heated seat is on. She can pick the music or the podcast we listen to if she wants. She's probably got some sort of snacks or a blanket, maybe stops for a coffee at Starbucks or something. She can take a nap for all she wants. She's the passenger princess. She is not in control of the car. She's in the car. She's along for the ride, but she actually has no control over the driving, where we end up, or how the driving goes. And in a similar sense, we get into the car with Jesus. We sit next to him. That's our role. And then we let go of our attempts to try to control the car. We're not reaching over at the steering wheel. We, in the kind of cliche song, we let Jesus take the wheel. And we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Because how much can we actually control peace? It's not something you can really grasp or get your hands around, as if we're just trying to white knuckle peace into our own lives. I find that when I try to do that, it's usually a bit of a self-defeating process. But when we are in the room with the one who is peace, when we are playing passenger princess to Jesus, it's creating the space to allow his peace to rule in our hearts. There's a pretty noticeable contrast between this passage and Jesus' words in John 14, where in John 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So there's do not let your hearts be troubled, and then there's letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. There's almost a bit of a battle, it feels like, where our heart is in the middle, and there are these two forces vying for our hearts. Jesus' peace on the one hand, and trouble on the other. And while the peace of Christ is something that we let happen, we allow it to happen to us, there's some level of choice for us. Where will we place ourselves? Where will we place our hearts before to allow peace or to allow trouble? And so what we're going to do is we are going to create some space to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts rather than allowing it to be troubled. And we're going to do it actually now here together. And there's a reason we're doing it together. We're not just giving ideas and then sending us out the door. Because the verse in Colossians, it's all plural. So the language that's used is, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Your is plural. All of your hearts. Since as members of one body, you, plural, were called to peace. This isn't just about an individual kind of Zen serenity that we have. It's about a community that together exudes and becomes peace. It's not individual, and at the same time, there is no corporate communal peace without internal peace inside each one of us. And so as we all encounter the peace of Christ together, it touches our inner spirit, which then pours out into the community and relationships around us, and so on and so on and so on loop. So together right now, we're going to pray in a way that invites the peace of Christ into our hearts. So what's going to happen is I'm going to read that same passage a few times slowly, and then in between each reading, we're just going to leave a little bit of space for silence. And we're going to kind of repeat that process a few times. And each time I'm reading it, I'm going to change up the words just a little bit. This isn't trying to mess with scripture or change the words around in a manipulative way at all. I was talking to a friend this week, and we both kind of agreed that the word peace is nice, but it's tricky, right? Because we all come to some very different conclusions about what that means. And so all we're doing right now is we're just contextualizing it and trying to flesh that out with some other words as to what that might mean for us, and it'll sound a little bit different each time. Silence can be quite uncomfortable. You might hear people squirming around you, or someone coughing, or a phone ding, or you might yourself just feel restless. I can often show up to silence and feel just quite restless, like I need to get out of there. That's okay. It's not going to last forever. Take a deep breath. And if it's helpful, you can even repeat the phrase that I'm reading internally to yourself to try to keep your mind a little bit focused and from getting out of control like mine often does. And in the silence, we are just going to sit with the words, pay attention to what resonates with you, and we're just going to sit in the room with Jesus. And we're going to allow him to take over, to take control, and let his peace rule in our hearts. So I invite you now to close your eyes, if you're comfortable. I'll read the passage, and then we'll leave the room in silence for a minute. So Holy Spirit, come. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the kindness of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the presence of Christ rule in your hearts. let the love of Christ rule in your hearts. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are invested in us, that you are participating in relationship with us. And God, while we seek to do our part, to show up, to come to meet with you, we ask you to do what it is that only you can do. And God, we ask for contentment in this place of sitting with you, of inviting you into our lives. And Lord Jesus, would you let your peace rule in our hearts? And we pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Dan. I'm going to invite Joel up. Joel leads worship here. So often we will hear him sing, and this morning we get to hear him share. So let's give Joel a warm welcome as he comes on up. Joel's really excited about this. I just said he's really excited. Joel said he doesn't like being put on the spot. So I'm excited that you're here. And so, Joel, you lead worship on Sunday here, but I know that you are also in a band and have been for many years. And so you play different kinds of music and different places. And so from your perspective, what for you is the difference between music and worship?
Well, first of all, I believe and I confirm that the gifts I have to play a guitar, to sing, whatever, they all come from one place. They come from God. So if I'm playing a gig somewhere, the goal is to, you know, use those God-given gifts to create an atmosphere of that's entertaining. You know, we want people to have fun, to have joy, all those good things. Worship has some of those aspects, but the focus is completely different. The focus is on God, the Creator, on Jesus and what he's done for us, and inviting the Spirit to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, I would echo that in my own life. I'm not nearly as musical as you, but I find that the music I listen to is often either an indicator or actually changes the spiritual temperature in my soul. And so for me, worship is about bringing me to God and reminding me of who he is. Music brings me anywhere else.
Yes.
So, yeah. So lots of things can be worship. Silent reflection, a walk in the woods. Dan led us through a reflective prayer. But why would you say we sing?
Well, I know why I sing. Yeah. Scripture commands us to sing. Scripture encourages us to sing. Scripture exhorts us to sing. All through the Bible. Psalm 69 jumps to mind. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing his praises. Like we're told over and over and over again. And nowhere does it say, if you're able to sing, if you're able to carry a tune, sing. It just says, sing.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you sing?
Thank you, Joel. I think, like to echo what you said there, that scripture speaks to how we're wired. That singing pulls something out of us, that it's important to understand who God is, but singing speaks to our emotions. And it can be used manipulatively, and we don't want to do that, but when it's intentional, singing is so powerful. It brings us to God, and I was actually just reading a book that talks about how a group of people that sings together trusts each other more. And so that can be exploited, it can be manipulated, but when done well and when leading us to God's presence, it's such a powerful way to encounter God.
So, emotional manipulation is something I don't ever want to be accused of or guilty of. Like when I sing or when I lead, like I can't help it sometimes. I just, you know, become overwhelmed with the emotion of the words, what I'm talking about, what I'm singing about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a slippery slope.
Yeah. But bringing all of who we are into God's presence. Yeah. Yeah. So in this passage today in Colossians, it talks about singing to God. It says, be thankful, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So what would you say comes first, the singing or the gratitude?
I think it varies. There's times when gratitude and thankfulness is so palpable in my heart, like it's almost, it's beating so hard that I can't help but, this is my expression, I have to sing. And then I think there's times where, I don't know about anybody else, maybe it's just me, but I can forget to be grateful. I can forget to be thankful. And in those times, it's maybe the song is coming first. The song is like reminding me and, you know, come on, my soul. Don't be dead. Stir up inside of me. Remind me of the gratefulness of what you've done, what Jesus has done for me. So I think it can vary.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. It's amazing how so many of our answers are just... That's why I like you going first. I think sometimes it's a song, sometimes a thankfulness, but so often it's a choice to start with one or the other. So a last question, Joel, for you. What psalm, hymn, or spiritual song would you use to teach or admonish or encourage us today?
I don't think there's one. Like my desire is that everything that we sing this morning somehow draws people's attention to where it belongs, which is Jesus. That's my hope. That's my intent. You know, I know I don't always hit that goal, but that's what I want. So there isn't one specific song. And I think that pulling bits and pieces out of particular songs can be good. And this is the last question, right?
It is, yes.
I am so not comfortable speaking in front of people.
Tim, well, like, for you, this morning, as you chose the set, all of the songs you chose are the songs that you have brought this morning to teach and admonish and encourage us this morning. So I don't get to choose a worship set, but I get to enjoy the one that you do.
Awesome.
Yeah. So this morning, we've given space for the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. We've given space for the peace of Christ to rule. And we have sung to God with gratitude in our hearts. But this word isn't meant to just dwell, but to keep dwelling. Not just for this peace to have ruled, but to keep ruling. And not for this song to be done, but for us to keep singing in a way that it overflows into our week. So as we head into this week, let's pause a moment and consider what this week holds. Where will we work? When will we rest? Who will we encounter? Where will we be? What will we need to do? And so, church, as the word dwells in you richly, as the peace of Christ rules, as the grateful singing continues, now whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.